going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It's called the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center, but the sprawling facility is so much more than rackets, nets, and tennis balls. It is an educational haven for children in D.C.'s Southeast community. There's no promise that the thousands of children who have been served by the center will become tennis champions, but they come out changed for the better. And tonight we talk about the past 25 years of the center and the recreation wish list committee. Yes, and you hear her in the background. Joining me to talk about this are founder and former D.C. First Lady Cora Masters Barry and Justice Bobbitt, a former student and director of the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center. If you have a comment or a question about the center, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Cora, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
I love coming back home.
Absolutely. Justice, thanks for being part of the program.
I appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely. And, of course, congratulations to you both for 25 years of the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center. Let me first talk about this, because if you are a D.C. native and of a certain age, you may be familiar, but there are a lot of people that are not. Can you talk to me about the genesis of the Tennis and Learning Center?
Well, actually, the genesis of the Tennis and Learning Center is coordinated with the genesis of the Recreation Wish List Committee, which was founded quite organically from the leftover inaugural funds from my husband's fourth inauguration as mayor. And I was the head of the inauguration. I ran it. And they was just giving me too much money for a party. And I put some aside, a couple of $100,000, for what I called the recreation department's wish list, because there were a lot of cuts and the kids needed recreation. In our community, recreation is a matter of life and death. And others, it's just leisure time. But our kids need something to do. And so after the inaugural committee was over with, we called the director of the recreation department and asked her to bring us her wish list. And from that, well, when she bought it, that $200,000 looked like $2 compared to the need. So we just kept going, and then we incorporated, and then we just called ourselves the Recreation Wish List Committee, and we went around the city renovating ball fields, building computer labs, just doing things all the way from Palisades to Ward 8. Of course, a large portion of what we did was east of the river, Ward 7 and Ward 8, for all the obvious reasons. And just one day, riding down the street, seeing, as Marion would tell the story, we were riding down the street and we saw an empty lot that had a lot going on it, but not good stuff.
Okay.
But it had a couple of poles. It looked like it used to be tennis courts over there. And I did a little research, and to make another long story short, the wish list committee put in 6 new tennis courts there, and as they say, when you build them, they will come. But one of the things I noticed after a few months is that tennis wasn't enough. The kids would play tennis and compete well, but they would settle the score on the corner. And I was like, no, this is not quite how this game is supposed to go. So I said, let's have a building. I want to put a building, a very moderate building, that I was going to get my friends and volunteers to come over and mentor the kids and all. But as it turned out, that was my vision, and God's vision is the $25 million facility we have sitting on Mississippi Avenue now.
Do you play tennis? Did
you? I used to play tennis, and I play at it now because of all the things that happen when you get up in age, you know, lateral movement. But I go out and I hit the ball, and the coach's job is to get it back to me, and then I run them all over the court.
Why do you suppose that tennis was the inspirational sport for this? Because, I mean, you could have done anything. You could have done basketball. You could have done just about any other sport that was more familiar to the community than tennis?
Well, first of all, that's a good question, and people ask it often, and they think it's because I had some kind of a passion for tennis, but I had a passion for what tennis could do for young people. Basketball, football, all of those are overcrowded with people out there trying. Tennis is an individual sport. It develops you and develops your character. It develops your work ethic, and you have to work hard to succeed. And that's one reason I chose it. The other reason I chose it is because why not? Why can't we play tennis? How come we can't have a state-of-the-art facility in our community? And the thing that made it palatable to the community was that there was right at the time the Venus and Serena were making their rise. And so they were like miracle girls to the community. So they made it real that, you know, black people could play tennis and they could come straight out of Compton or straight out of Ward 8. And so that was the inspiration that made it palatable to the community. And for me, it was what the sport does for your life. It's a sport that takes you from the cradle to the grave.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about 25 years of the Recreation Wish List Committee and the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center. I'm here with Cora Masters Berry, the founder, as well as Justice Bobbitt, who is now running the facility, but she wasn't always running the facility. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Justice, you started at what age at the center?
I started at age 8 at the center.
And you're how old now?
I'm 25.
Oh, okay. What's the story? What and your connection to Venus and Serena?
Well, to start, Venus and Serena are my aunts. They're my mother's sisters. So that's my connection to Venus and Serena.
I'm listening.
In terms of my story with the center, I started at age 8. It was more so age 9, right around the time, between age 8 and 9, right around the time that my mother passed away. I went to start staying with my grandmother. Obviously, you know, the passing of her daughter, the passing of my mother is a very tough time. And, you know, we were all going through it. So we were looking for summer activities, and she saw it fit to send me here to Washington, D.C. I'm actually originally from California. So she saw it fit to send me down to Washington, D.C., to go to tennis camp over here at the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center. So I started tennis camp here, and they treated me just like family. So, you know, I was treated no different from any of the other kids, and I, you know, learned tennis. Not that I wasn't exposed to tennis before, but it was just amazing what it did for me in terms of my personality, what it did for me in terms of teaching me different aspects of the game, even things that I didn't know or that I hadn't been exposed to.
Such as what?
Such as, you know, just the mental toughness that you have to have when it comes to playing tennis and just a different joy of the sport. Obviously, you know, growing up, my aunts are unarguably the greatest of all time. So watching them and actually being a part of it and immersed in the sport, it gave me my own personal love for the sport. So I went on, actually, after that I played high school tennis. I played tennis for about 10 years after that, and I pretty much only went to the high school level. So I did the tennis program at the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center. I also participated in their education program and everything from Freedom School to Set Up. So I had the opportunity to participate in that. And then I went to Howard. I was in the end of my freshman year at Howard in the summer, looking for a summer job just like any other college student would be. And I was hitting dead ends everywhere. And my grandmother said, you know, why don't you call Mrs. Berry? So I called Mrs. Berry, and I asked her for a job. And she gave me actually my first opportunity in the teaching, which was my first career. So I got the opportunity to teach, which is a position that I'll admit that at that time I wasn't qualified for, but I found that that was where my true passion was. So after she gave me that opportunity, that gave me the confidence that I needed to actually change my major at Howard and I majored in elementary education, and I taught for D.C. Public Schools in Ward 8 at Turner Elementary for 3 years until I came over to the Southeast Tennyson Learning Center. So this is actually a full circle experience for me because I got the opportunity to see what the program in here does truly for the scholars here. And what it did truly for my life, even as a transplant, and for somebody who was here part-time. We have coaches here who grew up in the center just like I did. So it's really a family that we have going on here.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit more about what the center does beyond tennis, but I want to go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center and the Recreation Wish List serving, or celebrating, I should say, some 25 years. And as a matter of fact, there's a gala coming up. We want to talk about that in just a bit. But first, let's go to Donald. Donald calling from Boston. Thanks for calling, Donald. What's on your mind?
Thanks a lot for taking my call. I just want to thank Mrs. Berry so much. I was just telling the young lady that took the answer the call, I graduated from Youth Pride Incorporated back in 78, which was Mr. Berry's program, a high school dropout, and it was a computer training program. So in answer to that question about why tennis, you know, it expands your horizon outside of the normal basketball, baseball, football. So that's I mean, I came up in the Mount Pleasant area, so, you know, you're boundaries is within that neighborhood. So those things expand your horizon and say, hey, the world is bigger than those little, you know, neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So it did wonders for me. So I want to thank, as I said, Mrs. Berry, and my life is dedicated to a husband because I've expanded to all types of careers in IT since going through that program. So thanks a million.
There you go. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for that. And you're absolutely right. Tennis does expand your horizons, not just in terms of just what you learn from playing tennis, but where tennis takes you. It's a competitive sport, but you have to compete against people from all over. And then segue back into the center. One of the purposes of us, not just teaching the kids, but we wanted to stand in the gap. Because it's an expensive sport. Most people don't know that. You know, you can just grab a ball and do a pickup game on and a hoop or get a trash can and throw some balls. But tennis, you got to have a racket. You got to have a tennis court. And for the most part, you got to have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out there and hit at it until you fake it till you make it. But that's not really how it goes. But at the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center, not only do we make sure that the kids get good tennis coaching, we also make sure they get quality experiences in the enrichment field there, STEAM and STEM and sewing and homework assistance. And Justice can tell you a little bit more about the programming. But we have a motto at the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center, which is tennis is the hook, but education is the key. And of all of you, and you started the show by saying we couldn't guarantee the kids could be tennis stars. You're right, but I tell you what we can guarantee you. If they stick with us, they can go to college free.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had many kids. We've got 5 young people right now, seniors, on their way to college on free rides at different colleges, no tuition.
Thank you so much for your phone call, Donald. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about 25 years of the Recreation Wish List Committee and the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center here in Washington, D.C. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I do want to talk about the gala briefly because this, I would imagine, is going to be different from the other events that you've had to celebrate the success of the center. We're talking 25 years. A quarter century of the center. Talk to me about the gala.
Well, first let me talk about 25 years. I just want everybody that can hear me listen to me. It's only been in the last 2 or 3 days that I have come to the realization that that was God's miracle. 25 years ago, I had an idea to just do a little something and gathered many people around me. One of them is Ramon Vane, who's here with me, as our original board members. And 25 years later, we have done so much for so many children and so many families. It's a miracle, and it humbles me, and it makes me cry. So this 25-year celebration is not just about the fact that we are still here, but we're thriving. So it's 25 and still we thrive, changing children's lives. We're expanding. In 2015, we had an $18 million renovation thanks to, at that time, Mayor Gray. And thanks to Mayor Bowser, we have a $13 million expansion. And the kids are coming and we're looking at being a national academy. It is a miracle. And I, for one, as a former first lady, never liked galas. I had to go to two or three of them a week.
I thought you were about to say two or three a month. She said two or three a week. Okay.
And I just said once, you know, we left office, I would never go to another one. But obviously that wasn't realistic, not living in Washington, D.C., and also with the work that I do. So when I do have galas, I don't have them every year. I think since we've been open, we've had about five or six of them. But when we, because I don't like them, when you, I'm gonna make mine. It's gonna be a ball.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. We're gonna have a good old time. We're gonna. What did the young people say? We're gonna turn up. It's gonna be good food, amazing food, good music, good entertainment. It's just gonna be great. It's gonna be fun. It's high end, you know. But the most important thing is, wear your tennis shoes. Bling them out. We're going to have a tennis shoe cam.
Oh.
It's tennis shoes, ties, and after five.
Are you ready to turn up?
I am.
she sounds so enthused.
I am.
We're going to leave. We're not going to bring Justice to the front door.
She's 25. They just wake up turning on.
Right. Is that what it is? Okay. And for information about this event, you can find it online at rwlccelebration.org. That's rwlccelebration.org. If you want information about that gala coming up, what's the date?
November 2nd. It's 2 weeks from now.
Okay. And it's at the center?
At the center. We turned that into a we are so blessed. Mm-hmm. We turned it into a fabulous ballroom. The decor, the decorations, the atmosphere is wonderful. We're just very blessed. We've had all, and well, now it's the best kept secret in town. The mayor had her children's inauguration there.
Mm-hmm.
We did something with Hillary Clinton not long ago. The Williams family had their annual Williams family fun activity there where all the family was there to combat, I think, what is that, a violence thing, anti-violence thing,
mm-hmm.
dedicated to Justice's mother, Yetunde, mm-hmm. As a result of the fact that she died from violence.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we want to talk more about 25 years, what has happened, as well as your thoughts about what's going to happen during the next 25 years. If you are on the phone, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'll make sure that I take your phone calls. And we are still taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue. But Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We will continue our conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking tonight about the past 20 years for the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center and the Recreation Wish List Committee. My guests are founder and former D.C. First Lady Cora Masters Barry and Justice Bobbitt, former student and now director of the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Wendy, calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to thank Ms. Barry and also the directors of the the tennis camp. I have a nephew, Miles McKeever, who is actually 8 years old, and he actually attends. And I'll tell you, my family, we are not tennis people, but just the exposure that he has had by attending this and by being exposed to the tennis instructors has just completely changed his world. And we'd like to just thank you for the program.
You're welcome. Thank you for the comment.
Thank you so much, Wendy. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Justice, talk to me about life at the center beyond tennis, because there really is a laundry list of items that young people are participating in that quite honestly really don't have anything to do with tennis, but still really focus on the development, the mentoring, and enrichment of their lives.
Yes, well, one of the things that Ms. Berry actually spearheaded was making sure that our kids got exposure, beyond just tennis. So in terms of our programming, we have sewing, we offer homework assistance, we offer, we have a big program called Blacks and Wax that we put on every year. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely. Go right ahead.
I'm getting feedback. We have a huge program called Blacks and Wax that we put on every year that we do at the Kennedy Center that we do during Black History Month or around Black History Month that just makes sure that it exposes our kids to what our history was and where we're going. So the programming here is exceptional, and I think that it's important, especially for where we're located and where we're planted in the city, just because we want to make sure that we provide equity and not necessarily equality, just making sure that the kids are exposed to awesome things. Mm-hmm. For example, over the summertime, the mayor and Mrs. Berry actually sponsored a trip for the kids to go to Arthur Ashe Kids Day. And while they were on that trip to New York, which I had the privilege of chaperoning, they actually got to go to a musical, which, you know, some of our kids never get the opportunity to do anything like that. So they went to see Aladdin, and they got to dress up. And, you know, they saw a penthouse in New York, Mr. Reggie Van Lee's penthouse. So they just had an exceptional time, and it just exposed them to a world that was so much bigger than, you know, Washington, D.C. and the monuments, and so much bigger than Ward 8 and what, you know, their normal lives are.
For, you know, from your perspective, because you are a young person, but you originally came from the West Coast, and now you are here. And so you've had some incredible developmental experiences as you've moved through this process. What is the thing that has surprised you most about the center?
I think what surprises me most and what continues to surprise me is just how awesome our kids really are and how far they're willing to go. I mean, Blacks and Wax is literally my favorite part of the year just because our kids literally become actors and they literally portray the characters that we ask them to. Yes, we give them a script. Yes, we, Ms. Janice gives them costumes and they make them look like exact replicas of who they're portraying, but they actually become these characters and they do the hard work to transform. And they do that with everything. I have students and scholars here who never picked up a tennis ball who end up with a passion for tennis that, you know, I've never witnessed. And I've been, you know, exposed to tennis all my life. So just they if anything amazes me, it's them.
I want to piggyback on that because, you know, there's a scripture, what good comes out of, what is that place? Well, what good comes out of Ward 8? The kids, when people come to and see our kids, both on Blacks and Wax in the Kennedy Center, or they come to something called Read Aloud that WHUT and WHUR family has gone out and participated in. And they always say, who are these kids? I'll never forget the mayor saying that to me last year when we were at the Kennedy Center, and the kids were amazing. And she kept asking me, who are these kids? And I said, they're our kids. And she said, well, I know, but I said, Muriel, these kids are not ringers we bought in from Duke Ellington. These are the kids that come every day. They play tennis every day. You just see that they can be anything anybody else can be. They're excellent. So she's absolutely right because they come many times with no direction or hope. And after a year or two, they're running the show. They're winning elections at their schools because they can get up and make a speech and speak for themselves. It's just amazing, and it's so gratifying to watch. You know, I love kids, so that's what gets me up in the morning.
202-319-7810, 202-7810. Let's go to Cheryl, calling from Maryland. Cheryl, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I totally commend Mrs. Berry, along with Miss Justice, because everything that they are sharing with you all now is totally true. I'm always in Southeast Tennessee Center, definitely in the winter months, having court time, and to see these kids and how they grow, how they blossom, how they play, how they perform, it is truly, truly a sight to see. And it just warms my heart as you see them year after year after year. So I commend the two of you, and I commend the coaching that happens at Southeast Tennessee Center. You guys make me proud. I am truly, truly proud of you both.
And you make me smile, so thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. I appreciate your phone call. For those who are hearing about this for the first time, who is the center for? Is this, you talk about these kids, and the mayor was asking, well, who are these kids? Where are they from? You said they're not ringers. But this isn't just for...
Well, that's a good question.
The kids for east of the river, isn't that correct?
Yeah, well, the vision that God gave me on the tennis court that we had built was to build a building for these kids. And I was singularly focused on that, let's say the first two or three years, that the kids from Ward 8, But because you have to accommodate people, obviously, so kids come from all over the city, and we have children come from the DMV. Now, I'd say 90% of the kids that are in Southeast Tennessee Learning Center are from Ward 8,
mm-hmm.
and the rest are from around. Capitol Hill, in the summer, they're from everywhere because mm-hmm. parents can bring them. But the important thing about it is that if we could go forward with it, expansion, we will be inviting kids to come from all over the world, because in tennis they have something called national academies, and they only, and for international tennis for juniors, they have three in the country, two actually, one in Florida, the Orange Bowl, and one in Michigan called Kalamazoo. I want the third one to be in Washington, D.C., in the heart of the community. I mean, obviously everybody's welcome, but I'm really looking for children of and players of color where they can come to a safe place and be able to work on their game and not have so much distraction and work and fighting and combating the discrimination that comes with this game. And I never sweep that under the floor.
And I think, you know, that is not just a lesson for the youngest. But that's a lesson for Venus and Serena, because that is something that they have, you know, quietly discussed throughout their careers, Justice, where just they are you know, arguably
ain't
Serena,
no,
hold on, because now we're going to get into it. Arguably, Serena is the better player, arguably.
Oh, I didn't know that's what you're going to say. I thought she's a GOAT.
No. There is no argument there.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Serena Williams and Muhammad Ali. That's where when you talk about the greatest of all time.
Right. Today.
Exactly.
I said that earlier today.
But if you look at the roads that Muhammad Ali and Serena and Venus have taken, even though they are different sports, their blackness is not something.
Not up for question.
Exactly. Talk to me about that kind of pride that you're trying to instill in these children, whether it's tennis or anything else, Justice.
Well, you know, first of all, I was raised by my grandmother who instilled that in us. So in terms of what
Excuse me,
I'm going to
interrupt. Her grandmother, where if people don't know it, is the real Angela Davis. Okay, you can keep on.
Okay, go ahead. She, you know, this thing with Justice. Are you ready to turn up? Yes, I am. I was raised by my grandmother, but I'm not going to tell you who she really was. Modesty. What's going on with you, Justice?
What my generation calls woke. She is extremely that.
Yeah.
So I was taught to have pride in myself, and which is one of the reasons why I went to Howard. But anyway, in terms of what we do at the center and making wanting to make our children feel passionate about who they are, I think that's one of the great things about being here is that we show them how much magic that they have within themselves, and just how much magic our history has and how much tenacity, you know, and how they deserve everything that anybody, that any other kid anywhere else gets. And that's one of the things that myself and Ms. Berry and the staff, and we all work so hard to do at the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center. We make sure that we provide them with excellent programming because that's what they deserve. They deserve to know that, you know, they're just as magical and they're just as capable and they have just as many opportunities as everybody else.
Well, Mrs. Berry, considering who your husband was, is that a hard lesson to teach young people now?
It is. It's stressful, actually.
Why do you say that?
It's like this generation, on one hand, I just love them because they're the Tamika Mallorys of the world who are out there shaking the world up and standing tall. And there's a whole group of woke young people, and then there's that other group of them that just are on that that entrepreneurial, I got to get mine, you don't have to get your thing, and there's enough of them to go around. But I think that this generation, I guess people call them millennials, but what's the generation right behind them?
Generation Y, Z, I don't know, young folks.
Yeah, I guess.
It's the whole alphabet soup.
Yes, Lord, but I think they're more woke than the millennials that are coming beyond us. I think the generation coming, the ones that are coming out of high school, I'm finding a lot of the young people there are more conscious about what's going on in the world. The ones that are in college now and around that area. But it's there is no option to not know who you are if you walk through that door and whose you are and who you should be proud of being and who your people are. And little by little, that just soaks in. And I just wish, and I'm going to find a way to have testimonies from these kids because they just spontaneously will say, I'm so glad I was here because before I came here, I didn't feel good about myself. I didn't think I could do this. That's worth getting up for every morning.
Have you also seen a transformation in some of their parents?
Oh, my God, yes. They're so grateful. Let me just say this. All people love their kids. There's a kind of a stereotype that the poor people, they neglect their kids. They don't care as much. Trust me. Whoever you are out there listening, whatever your station in life is, you don't love your kids any more than all the other people love their kids. They just don't have the resources. And in some cases, they don't have the understanding or the knowledge of what to do. So when they come there and they see what we do, I just had a parent just tonight just stood in the door and said, I'm ready to volunteer. Her child had been coming for 2 years. And, you know, they like drop them off. But now it's like, you know what? This is changing my child's life. I need to be involved. And we do have parent things. We have about healthy eating, how to read labels. So
we try to. Literacy.
Say again?
I said we also have financial literacy workshops.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you make a point as we get ready to take a break that when you talk about them not having, you know, not all of the resources, but love is a resource.
Yeah, yes.
It certainly is a resource.
They bought them there.
Yeah. So, however they get it.
Yeah.
Need to take a break when we come back. More of this conversation. about 25 years of the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center here in Washington, D.C. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center and the Recreation Wish List Committee. 25 years of serving the community east of the river with tennis and so much more. Of course, my guests are former D.C. First Lady and founder Cora Masters Berry and Justice Bobbitt, a former student and director of the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center. During the break, we were talking about the purpose of the gala beyond a party and seeing justice turn up. Stay with me, Justice, here. Stay with me. But talk to me about what it is that you really want people to understand about this gala.
Well, first of all, know that we don't do it every year. It's labor intensive. It's expensive. It takes away from all the other things you should be doing. So we do it about every 2 or 3 years. We really do it with a reason and a purpose. That's, we have something that we want to lift up. But the purpose, the reason to do it is because we have to raise what is called unrestricted funds. We get grants for STEM. We get grants for different educational programs. And they're very restricted and they're very necessary. And I'm really grateful for it. But we get no money for things like the New York trip to take the kids. Or if our kids play tennis, as I've said before, and I'll say it again, it is an elitist, racist sport. Now, you might not think that because the top five good girls in tennis in the world right now out of the United States are black. And that's a wonderful thing, but that was not an overnight thing. But, you know, it's hard because you have to compete, and competing in tennis costs money. You got to leave your you can play around in your section for a minute, but you got to start going first down to Virginia, North Carolina. You got to get on that plane, go to California, out of the country, different things. And our kids can't not afford it. That is why you've seen so few of us at the top. But we are there to stand in the gap. So if one of our kids and several of our kids make it to a certain point in their ranking and they've worked really hard and they want to compete in the Orange Bowl, then we give them a coach to go with them. We give them food, airfare, lodging, spending money. We want to level the playing field. We want them to look across that net and look at the person across them and know that the only thing that person is over there for is for you to wear them out.
Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine, you know, even for those who are on the outside looking in, you talk about how expensive it is, even when you're talking about professional rankings, not even, you know, the amateur rankings, but we are talking about the French Open, Wimbledon, Australian Open, for example, the U.S. Open. These are in communities of, for lack of a better term, rare air.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you can smell the money.
Yes.
When you go there, even if you are a participant, it's like World Series tickets.
And that is when Venus and Serena first started, and Justice probably wasn't old enough to really pay attention to that, but the reason that they were successful is because they had to look into themselves and stick together. When they would go into the locker room, they would talk to nobody but themselves, because people play games with your head. And if they let them, if trying to be friends with the people you're about to get across the net with, and they're going to be dropping things. So
it's sports.
It's sports and it's race.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're going in their own way. They were going to let them know you don't really belong here. So the only way that they talk, they let their racket do the talking. And it's like I think Serena said in one of her quotes, the only reason we keep getting invited back is not because they want us there, but because we won't stop winning.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. And speaking of winning, and I'll ask you this, Justice, because you have new eyes on this. What is your, when you talk about winning for the center and you look into perhaps the next 25 years, what is your vision?
Well, my vision is to make sure that the standard of excellence here at the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center is first of all upheld. obviously, I plan for this building to continue to be a pillar in the community and a place that our patrons know that they can come for the best quality service. Beyond that, I want to provide the patrons who come here, especially our young people, with exposure that makes the playing field equitable in terms of experience and opportunity. So continuing to provide them with programming that is cutting edge. One of the most important things that I can think of outside of it being sports related is STEM. So RWLC actually has a huge grant that they just got. So I'm excited about being able to get a STEM lab and just those kind of cutting edge programs, because we know that that's where the world is moving further into the age of technology. So just making sure that we continue to provide our scholars with the best. And that's the only thing that I'm willing to settle for.
Well, you know, let me just say this about that. When I mentioned to the mayor early in the summer that we had a young lady who was competing for the job, and she did, she went through everything to compete for the job. And when I told the mayor that she was a teacher, she pepped up and she said, I like teachers. Mm-hmm. Teachers are thorough. Teachers are blah, blah, blah. Well, you just heard that's a teacher coming through.
Yeah,
she's
going
to make sure that things are right.
What is your vision, Cora, for the next 25 years? What are the next steps that are going to lead to another 25 years? What's on your plate now for the center?
Well, I think as Justice will be the one who will carry it all the way through, but we're going to get a $13 million expansion. And so with the, you know, you expand the bricks and the mortar, you got to expand the people and the programs. So as we said, that to have a national academy that is located in the heart of the city, or to just be honest, in the middle of the, used to be ghetto, we're not ghetto anymore.
Yeah, things are changing.
Things are changing.
And that's another conversation.
Yes, but at the end of the day, to just put us on, continue to elevate us on a national level. We've been awarded for every award you can get from every, we've been on every network, every TV station, every cable station. We've been awarded twice by the USTA as being the facility of the year, and I received the Founders Award from the USTA. So awards and recognition is one thing, but accomplishments and getting things taken to another level, that's on us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you both for sharing your insight and your thoughts for the future of the center and the committee. And again, congratulations on the first 25 years, and looks like, you know, Cora, you are passing the racket.
Passing the racket.
Yeah, you can use that too.
Okay. Do I have to give you?
You don't. You do not have to give me credit for
okay,
that.
It's
it, you know, this is your court.
Okay.
I'm just playing on it.
Oh no, you know, you just gonna keep on with it, right? You're on the road tonight.
I am. And Justice, keep doing what you're doing, and don't turn up too much in 2 weeks.
So, I appreciate that, Harold.
There you go. Thank you so much, Cora Masters Barry and Justice Bobbitt. Again, congratulations. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Tuesday, October 22nd. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.